Hello and welcome to On The Box at the Geek Show Podcast Network. With me today, I'm Jordan, for the first time in ages. With me today is Owen.
And me.
A familiar voice there as well.
Yes.
It's good to be back.
Who are you?
Yes. Who are you?
How did you get into this building?
Yes. Unfortunately, we don't know who you are unless you tell us our name. Then we remember you.
Security!
I'm Andy.
Andy.
If you recognise the voice.
Hmm. No, and of course, we have Rob here as well.
We don't recognise the voice because, Andy has been away for so long that now when we think about his voice, it sounds like, hey, I'm Andy. I like my cornetos.
Well, the thing is, I've been away for longer than him, so...
No. It's fine. We always imagined you had a really annoying voice.
And there's me thinking that you missed me.
Yeah, but only because I wasn't aiming well. Can you feel the love
anger,
in this
anger.
Room? Can you not feel the love in this room?
Such hatred in that there.
Yes. As you can see, this is going to be one of those shows where...
we all slag each other off, right, and slap each other silly.
Every time when I was away, Rob, to remind me of you, you just have to think of your YouTube video.
Which YouTube video?
Don't you start. Anyway, right, today we got all sorts to talk about because San Diego Comic-Con has happened and there's lots of TV news coming out of there. So we will be getting to that in a bit. But first is the news, and leading us into the news, the BBC could be moving BBC News online as well. So they've done it. They've announced that BBC Three is going to be an online channel only.
Yes.
BBC News 24 could be following.
Yes. Which is weird, though, because most of the news on BBC News anyway is the same news repeated for 24 hours.
Yeah, but it's the same with all of the news channels. I mean, how much... do you know what bugs me about BBC News? Right, there is plenty of news happening in the world. Lots and lots of things going on that we don't hear about. Do you know why? Because it's all propaganda.
Well, like, the thing is, the BBC have two news channels anyway. Because they have BBC News and then BBC World News. But at the same time, they also have BBC Parliament, which is, what's the point in having that?
Are we supposed to be promoting the BBC channels at the minute?
Well,
we're not really promoting them.
We're not really promoting, we're criticising. At the end of the day, BBC News, right? BBC News, they have this world service, but do they bring us global news? No. Okay.
There's three channels for the BBC.
I thought this was quite relevant. They were talking about. Remember when David Moyes? I was channel hopping, and they got to Gogglebox, and they were talking about how the lead story on BBC News was David Moyes being sacked as the manager of Manchester United.
Mm-hmm.
On the same day, there were people dying in somewhere in the world. There were people starving somewhere in the world. There were people being killed somewhere in the world. Yet BBC News regarded it as their lead story that somebody lost his goddamn job. I do not care.
A little more lighthearted.
Yeah, but I mean, this is the thing. If there is something going on in the world that could directly affect you as a person, I mean, David Moyes getting sacked as the manager of Manchester United, how did that affect you guys?
Well, as a Man United fan, it should have, but it never.
It made me laugh, for one.
Yeah. I don't even follow the football, so...
That's my point, exactly. Yet, the political... if some country in Europe was becoming more and more politically destabilized, or, there was war flaring up in the Middle East, that might have a knock-on effect on you.
Yeah.
Someone you know might end up getting involved in charity work or something like that, or even if they're in the armed forces, they might end up getting deployed out to that region. So it might have a direct impact on you. That I would consider more newsworthy than somebody losing their job. I mean, hell, how many people here have lost their job? Has anybody here lost their job?
I've never been employed to actually lose a job. So.
Okay. Sam?
I've lost one voluntarily.
You've lost one voluntarily.
Well,
okay.
Yeah.
I've lost several jobs in the past.
I've done stuff like that.
I've lost several jobs in the past. And you know what? I never got a front page news story for that. I want a front page news story when I lose a job. What about all these other people who, all those people who used to work for Garlands? Yeah. Why wasn't that front page news on the BBC?
It wasn't really on the news, was it? That was just local news.
Yeah, I know, but this is the thing. Why was it not on BBC? Why wasn't it the lead story on BBC? 1,500 people lost their jobs in one town.
Yeah.
I don't even think, to be honest,
that's a lot more newsworthy than a bloody football manager. Yeah. But that's my point. Those are things that directly affect people. BBC seems to have its priorities all squiffy. I mean, they seem to think that we want celebrity stuff. We don't.
I mean, that's something that has to be improved. I agree with what they're doing by taking like a 24-hour repeated news channel, both for cost as well, and putting it online, because they have apps on the TV now.
Mm. Yeah, but why? Why a 24?
But in all fairness,
why a +24 news channel?
Everything that you want to watch on BBC News, it's all on BBC's website anyway.
That's my point.
And it's like,
why do you then need a +24 news channel?
But don't forget, the BBC have BBC Parliament as well, right? Which no one watches.
No, that's
true.
Not
just
BBC,
the camera.
You've got BBC World News as well.
BBC World Service is great,
and
but you don't get it on TV.
Yeah.
BBC World Service is on the radio.
Yeah. But it's one of the things you look at it and you think, we've got that much more already. Why do we actually need that one extra channel?
Why do you need a +24 news channel? Mm. Seriously. I mean, when the news is over a day old, it stops being news. It becomes old.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know,
unless it's a recurring thing.
It's the kind of
BBC
person that wants...
No.
Yeah, I mean, that BBC would be... It wouldn't be BBC News. It would be BBC Olds. You know, it stopped being news. It's no longer relevant.
Yeah.
It's for the kind of person that wants to live a day behind everyone else.
So, Jordan, then.
They're moving their channel.
You've really missed me, haven't you? Like, so you can throw the insults like that.
It's because I kept missing you. No matter how hard I aim, just the sights wouldn't
line
worse, up.
Could be like Channel 4. They've got 4-7.
Hey?
Channel 4 has got 4-7. That's like Channel 4 24 hours in front.
Oh, yeah. Channel 4, Channel 5 have one as well.
4 what? 4-7.
Yeah, Channel 5. It's 24 hours a day. It's a day behind.
Channel 4 have...
A TV channel that is a day behind.
That's a day behind.
Channel 5, Channel 5 have it as well.
That would be brilliant. But.
Channel 5 have one. It's 5:24, something like that.
Mm.
That's what it's called. And it's 24 hours a day. Well, 24 hours behind.
I remember when you used to put Big Brother on that type of channel.
I'm sorry, but why?
I know you've got on demand and everything now.
I know.
It just makes
you've
no
sense. You've got every on demand service. You've got the internet. You've got everything.
Even you don't have a BBC Plus One. I mean,
seriously.
You've got iPlayer, though.
Okay, let me ask you a question. If there was some really, really... Okay, say it was Game of Thrones, right? Mm-hmm. Latest episode of Game of Thrones, and it's shown on, say, Channel 4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, BBC there. I'll have to water it down a bit more.
Yeah, it wouldn't get shown on BBC. But BBC say it gets shown on Channel 4, right? Mm-hmm. And then it's on at 4 +24, whatever it is, 4-7, whatever you want to call it, you know.
In all fairness, though, with Game of Thrones or something like that, if you've watched, miss that, just hit Facebook like that, and it's constantly on Facebook.
Yeah, but that's my point. How are you supposed to enjoy it on a +24 news channel when
you already
You've missed it and it's been spoiled because somebody has phoned you up and said, "Oh, did you watch this?"
I'm catching up to things, but yeah, I know what happens at the end of the fifth season because of Facebook.
Yeah,
you know.
It's just annoying me that you haven't finished watching Walking Dead, so I can't spoil
spoilers
that.
Spoilers are a thing.
Yes,
and if you have a +24 news channel, you have to live in a bloody cave in order to enjoy anything on a +24 news channel.
I think that's partially why it only has an audience share of 0.31%.
Then why are you wasting the money on a +24 news channel?
Who sat there watching it for the full day? Does it show the ratings like going up and down?
I just find it funny that a +24 news channel, right, as if we weren't having enough awful episodes of The Simpsons, is going to be showing an episode of The Simpsons, or the Channel 4 ones, are going to be showing competing episodes of The Simpsons.
Yes.
So it's effectively competing with itself for its own ratings. I don't understand the logic behind this.
Look at the channel.
The simplest answer I can give her is Channel 4.
That should
explain all of it.
Do you know what I would like to see? Do you know what I would like to see on TV, right? something that I think TV needs and it doesn't actually have right now is a proper, well thought out, well constructed, and you know, entertaining video game show.
Yeah,
yeah. It's Jinx.
What the hell is Jinx?
Jinx is a gaming network TV channel, but you can only get
I'm
on
not
Sky
talking
and
about
Venture
that.
Media.
I'm talking about something that's a gaming network channel, and obviously that isn't done on the, at the standards of say the BBC.
Hmm.
I mean,
I know what you're
would
thinking.
You have
like Gamesville?
No, I'm talking about something on the level of Click, but for video games.
That's fair enough. I will also just say
something that is professionally done, something where they actually have the connection, stuff like that. That's the kind of that's the future of TV.
That is right? What we need.
That is actually the future of TV. That's where most people's interests are going to align. If you want reality TV, focus on video games. Seriously, people want to know what's going on in video games, Let's Plays, MMOs, that sort of thing. You know, they've been doing it in EVE for years, right? They've been doing it in EVE for years. They've basically got. They've got a radio show, a really good quality, high production podcast radio type show that tells you all about what's going on in EVE. Goes through all the news, has interviews with players, various things like that, you know, and it basically keeps you up to date with all the things that are going on. There's no other video game that I know of that has that kind of thing. BBC really need to start thinking about what they're doing with their money.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, they don't have anything like The Simpsons. They don't have anything that's a hook. And they're basically.
Don't forget, though, The Simpsons was on BBC for a long time.
It was,
Channel 4.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
This can lead to another story as well with BBC.
Well, it is leading to the other story. I was just about to bring it up.
Well, because I've still got a point to make about the thing in the first place. With them getting rid of their news channel, they're doing two things. One, they're going to save money with having one less channel on the go. And two, they're kind of saying that, kind of ignoring the government as well, because George Osborne said that the BBC needs to forget their imperialist website ambitions. But...
Sorry, this is the Conservative government telling the BBC that they're imperialist?
Oh, yeah. George Osborne.
Does anyone else see the irony in this?
No, I talked about this last week and I was sat there thinking, I'm sure there's something wrong here.
This is the Conservative government that wants to repeal fox hunting.
Yes.
And make
fox
hunting.
Oh, no, we've got to start down fox hunting.
No, yes. Make fox hunting.
Actually are.
Yeah, exactly. And apparently the BBC has imperialistic ambitions.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure if the Tories could go to a different country and plant a flag on that country and say, you belong to us now,
they would. They would do it in a heartbeat.
They should do, right? They should get all the MPs that... Nobody likes
everyone. Then
so that's the vast majority.
No. I think what they should do, they should pass a law. They should pass a law saying that if your chin isn't at least this big, you cannot be an MP. You have to have a chin to be an MP. You cannot you cannot have no chin and be an MP. No chin, no power.
Yeah. I thought though, just drop them in the middle.
What do you guys think? Got to have a chin.
Yeah.
If you want to be an MP, you got to have a chin. Yeah. Let's make that a rule.
I also drop them in the middle of a really dangerous situation and just watch.
I'd just love to put them on like a desert island.
I'm a celebrity, but extreme edition, you know.
I'd love to see them like just drop down with desert island. I just left there.
Can we not put like Cameron? We had a suggestion from the left field of the Running Man. I was about to say, can we not take like Cameron and because we can't do Clegg anymore, so it's going to have to be Cameron and Osborne and put them on Prized Apart.
Yes, but who's going to be doing the challenges, the really difficult challenges?
George Osborne, obviously.
Okay,
yeah.
Because Cameron and his big shiny forehead had to have to be in the studio with all the studio lights.
Why are you trying to blind the studio audience?
Yes. You know, why do you think he's prime minister with all the lights shining down on him? You can't see what he's talking about because you're blinded. You look at him and all the lights shine off his forehead, his big shiny face.
You can't actually see all the rubbish leaving his mouth.
No, you go, my eyes, I'm blind. Anyway, yeah.
I think we should move on.
It's a rule now. We've made it a rule. If you do not have a chin, you cannot be an MP.
Let's get that trending on Twitter.
No chin, no power. Hashtag no chin, no power. There you go. Hashtag no chin, no power.
Does that mean we have to get rid of Sturgeon?
She has a chin.
Oh, yeah, she does.
She's like, she's got one of the manliest chins I've seen in Scottish politics.
Yeah, she does, yeah. She does.
I'm sorry. Alex Salmond did not have a chin manlier than hers.
That is true. I think we should move on quickly. Yes, I think we should.
Anyway, we were going to come
on the chin and move on.
Yeah. Hey, that was him. That wasn't me. I had nothing to do with that one. Anyway, moving on. I was going to bring this up before we were distracted by powerful chins. Or political chins.
Political chins.
Right, The Voice UK. This is linking into what we're talking about the BBC. The government's review of the BBC's output may force the BBC to axe The Voice UK. And you know what? I am fine with this.
See, I want to know how this is possible, how they can actually move in.
They spent a fortune on those swivel chairs.
No, that's true. That's
mind you, though, right? If I could have one of them swivel chairs, I wouldn't turn it down.
I'm sorry, but
if the government are going to fork out money for one of them, I wouldn't turn it down.
Swivel chairs.
Yeah, no, but I want one of the ones that you press a button and spin on.
Not that pedigree of swivel chair, though.
I don't think the button swings the chair around. I think that they press the button and then they just.
I don't know. I'm sure it's you press the button like that. It's one of them things. As soon as that button is pressed, that chair spins. So yes. I definitely want that. Want that.
Okay, it's a motorized spinning chair. We've established the chair is kind of nice. Right. But Will.i.am, Tom Jones, Rita Ora, or whatever she is now. And who's the other guy? I've forgotten his name.
Some guy from some band.
It's from... Blah, 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 blah. Not Kaiser Chiefs.
Have you noticed how nobody actually knows who the fourth person is? We know who the other three are, because the other three are
The one before him was Danny O'Hanahue from The Script.
Yeah, it's Ricky Wilson now.
That's him, yeah.
And Daniel, The Script. Who are The Script? Two decent songs, and they deserve. Okay, Tom Jones, I am fine with him being him being a judge on The Voice. Got no problem.
You want
with
judges that have been there, don't you?
Will.i.am is a bit weird, but you know he's keen.
The
thing
is, Will.i.am knows the music is within the music industry as now, because he is a he's an artist. He also is.
He's not a singer.
No, he's an artist. But
at
the same time, he is a producer and everything as well.
Yeah, okay.
So
that's what
stuff
I'm saying.
Like that.
As a music producer, okay, fine.
It took me 4 years for me to figure out that was just William.
Tom Jones, yeah, he's got decades of experience.
Yeah.
I'm fine with him. Will.i.am, as a music producer, he does have experience. Mm-hmm. Fine with him. Rita Ora, never heard of, but you need a female judge.
Well, the thing is, Rita Ora at the moment, right, is currently... one of the chart toppers at the moment.
I don't follow the charts. I follow what I like. I don't follow
the
charts.
You follow your heart.
No, I don't follow my heart. I have no heart. It's a cold and desolate place within my chest.
The way that I think they're working it out right is Tom Jones, years of experience. Will.i.am, music producer currently and everything. Rita Ora, currently chart topping female artist.
So who's the last person?
And the other one is the lead singer from Kaiser Chiefs.
Yeah. But they've now got someone from The Script, but they've both been someone from a band.
Mm. Yeah,
so it's clearly shown bands are still a major part of the industry. So having at least one person from
But The Voice does not allow you to bring your band onto.
No, that, that's
thing.
True.
So
that's true.
What is the point in having somebody from a band on a show where you're not allowed to bring your band? I don't understand the logic behind this.
No.
And if you were going to choose someone from a band, why not choose What's-His-Face from Muse? You know, at least, Muse is like the biggest band at the moment.
Yes.
You know, why not have him on The Voice? You're pretty much guaranteed an audience if you got him on there.
But he's probably doing something worthwhile. Yeah. They're probably touring or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or it's probably too cost too much to get in.
I mean, hell, why not get Bruce Dickinson or someone like that? Mm. You know, not Bruce Dickinson. What's-His-Face? Is it Bruce Dickinson? Actually, it might be.
From?
Iron Maiden. Yes. Get Bruce Dickinson in. I'm sure he'd be willing to do it.
Yes, I think you would. I think that would be...
I'm sorry, but I do not class you as a singer if you can't do a Banshee Will. I'm sorry, but you're not a singer if you can't do a good Banshee Will.
I mean, if you're sticking with reality shows like that, don't forget Rita Ora has left The Voice anyway to go to The X Factor.
Yes, I know.
Which is one of the coolest things. Hang on a minute.
Rita Ora is not cool.
No. Don't think of it like that.
The X Factor is not cool.
Don't think of it like that, right? Think of it like even... one place to go, the biggest rival that it can have.
So it's like leaving Home and Away to go to Neighbours?
Yeah. Stuff like that.
Well, I can't...
Right? Leaving Corrie to go to EastEnders.
Yeah, right. Stuff like that, right, where you are leaving a big rival to
have
go
to another.
Have you
noticed how sad a British TV is that the closer... when we think about something like that, the first thing we think of is soap operas, leaving one soap opera
to go
to another.
Okay, what about Tiffany Dell, Quinton Wilson going from Top Gear to Fifth Gear?
Who?
Yes. Tiffany Dell, the original test driver for Top Gear.
Oh.
What's Fifth Gear?
Fifth Gear was, well, yeah.
It's on the History Channel now. It used to be on Channel 5, now it's on History
it's on
Channel.
The History
but
Channel.
Again, it sticks along with that.
It like, does, yeah.
Where
anyway.
It's like football, leaving one big team to go up with another, like their big rival.
Anyway. You were saying.
Before I finish, I can't take Rita Ora seriously because every time that I hear her name, I always think, if she had a daughter, don't call her Kia.
Kiora.
Yes.
Too orangey for crows. Just for me and my dog. I'll be your dog.
That song goes through my head. And I'm like,
oh, you're a cruel, cruel man, Andy.
Anyway.
And the advert was so racist. You seen the Kiora advert?
Yes.
Have you seen it?
No, I haven't.
Okay,
no.
We'll have to show you the Kiora.
We'll go on to YouTube
and we'll show you the old Kiora advert later. Just coming back to this for a second, I just want to finish this off.
I have a point to make as well. But
do you want to make your point first?
Well, all I was going to say is we can talk about this as much as we want. Yeah, The Voice isn't actually that good, but this actually does have an underlying issue. It's the government taking direct action in the BBC.
That's the point I was about to make.
Well, there we go. You know, that was never the government's job. The government always had the BBC separate to govern itself.
Well, the thing is, the BBC was supposed to be independent from the government for a reason, but it turns out that it's come to light now that the BBC simply can't be trusted with the money it's got. It really comes down to that. The politicians do not trust the BBC with the money they've got because they've seen over the years the license fee has gone up, but do we have any high quality programming to reflect the license fee? Do we have an increasing level of quality? Do we have shows that are constantly exported to all over the world? No,
that's very true.
You know, it used to be the case that we exported more TV shows than any other country in the world.
Yeah,
right. Mm. Other countries would come to us and buy the TV shows from us. The BBC could put that money in, but because we live in this age of celebrity culture, instead of investing in talent, we invest in a name.
No, that's and that name can't be exported that easily.
Well, it's not just that. I mean, the name can't be exported that easily, but once you become a name like Jeremy Clarkson...
I knew he was going to have a pop at this. I knew this name was going to pop up.
Yeah, well, Jeremy Clarkson, but let me finish.
Yeah.
Or Russell Brand or Jonathan Ross, you will automatically start assuming that you're above the rules, you're above the law. Right? And that is the biggest problem with what's happened to the BBC now, is that they cannot justify the license fee because they've let themselves get suckered into this whole idea of celebrity. This whole idea of celebrity, and they pandered to the people who have promoted this idea of celebrity. People like Jonathan Ross and Russell Brand and Jeremy Clarkson and others like them. And they pandered to them and pandered to them and pandered to them, and because of that, they've ended up in this quagmire of just pouring money down the drain for somebody who isn't actually that good at what they do. Hmm. You know, I mean, Clarkson might have turned Top Gear around, everything like that, but and he might have had a good relationship with James May and what was the other one?
Richard Hammond.
Well, let me ask you a question. Was Richard Hammond actually any good as a presenter?
I enjoyed him.
See, this is
on things that weren't Top Gear.
This is where it gets difficult.
Brainiac Science Abuse. I quite enjoyed that.
Brainiac Science Abuse Brainiac Science Abuse was just ripping off stuff from the Mythbusters.
Okay, that's true.
Okay. Right. Why not just, instead of wasting the money on Brainiac Science Abuse, pay a negotiation fee, get the license, and show Mythbusters, which was much more interesting.
Okay, fair enough.
And would have actually guaranteed you an audience.
This is the thing that I was talking about with a few minutes before. Solo, as solo presenters, they weren't that good. But because of the banter between them,
they had a good dynamic going.
It was the connection between the three of them together.
That's my point.
Now, that's the
you
issue.
Have the three of them together, but does that then justify James May and Richard Hammond having their own TV shows? I watched Hammond on Wipeout. He was awful. I watched him on Brainiac. He wasn't as bad. But then I watched Hammond trying to do documentaries.
Yes.
And he sucked.
Now, see, the thing is, with the documentary side, James May doing documentaries.
James May doing documentaries actually works because he's a bit more technically minded. But Hammond is not technically minded, so he's standing there like a gimp, going, "I don't know what's going on right now, so I'm just going to put on this jacket and I'm going to freeze because my show is all about the weather." Yeah.
Did you ever watch his interviews with? Let's see, there was Evel Knievel. And
yes,
Stirling Moss.
I've seen them ones.
Okay, now, those are in areas that he knows about.
Exactly.
I have a question. Why the hell was he doing a documentary about the weather that he knows nothing about?
I have no idea. I never watched that.
Good pay for it.
That's exactly that.
But that's my
point. It's the money. It'll be the money.
Why are you spending money on somebody who knows nothing about the weather when you have a perfectly good scientist, good scientist in Brian Cox, who is cheaper than Hammond to get and actually knows what he's talking about, and people like him.
He's already contracted with the BBC anyway.
Exactly. So why not bring him in?
Yeah.
Didn't he actually teach though, Brian Cox as well?
Yes, he does. Yeah. But I mean, he's happy to take time out to do documentaries. And they've got loads of other scientists on their books who are even more charming than Hammond. So why the hell have you got Richard Hammond doing a documentary about the weather?
I don't know. I mean, the documentaries I watch, like Brainiac and Science Stupid.
Brainiac is not a documentary.
You're not a documentary.
Brainiac's one of them difficult ones because you've got Vic Reeves did it as well.
He used to do it. Well, didn't he take on it after?
Vic Reeves did it before and after Hammond, if I'm mistaken.
So that kind of gives an idea of the pedigree.
That gives Vic Reeves the edge over Hammond anyway.
Yeah.
Because it was...
But I mean, like I said, why not just pay for Mythbusters, which would have been cheaper.
Yeah.
And would have actually got you a much better audience.
Well, I think that's because Nat Geo already had Mythbusters.
Sorry?
Brainiac was on Nat Geo, so... They already had Mythbusters.
No, I mean, BBC, it's a symptomatic of one of the main problems of BBC. They won't import the show.
Yeah.
They'd rather have their own,
They'd try and do their own.
Well, Brainiac wasn't a BBC show, it was a Sky One show.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
But it's one of them things, though, like they try and rip off like that, right? Or come up with their own.
Yeah.
Using the concept ideas like that, right? And create and run show with it.
Exactly. Anyway, right, let's leave that to one side because we will dwell on that. Let's ditch the BBC to one side and move on to we can't ditch it because more taxpayer money going down the drain. Let's bring back the British Empire.
I'm just going to set out on this one. I never watched it, never cared about it.
I watched.
Hardly anyone watched it or cared
about it. I'll be honest with you.
You weren't the only one, Owen. I watched it.
I watched it, right, because it was one of them things that
Chris
was on.
Barry, who was great in Red Dwarf, prior to the British Empire.
Yes.
But the British Empire, I'm sorry, but it really highlighted one thing. It really showed one thing. Chris Barry on his own, doing his own type of humour, is just not that good.
Yes.
Seriously. And the British Empire was not good. It wasn't. There are a whole slew of British comedies, British sitcoms, that I would put way above this, on the list of shows that I'd like to see return.
Mm-hmm. Number one on that list?
There isn't a number one on that list.
No.
This is just kind of a generalized kind of it'd be nice if they had a pop at trying to do a new series of this, and some of them weren't that good when they were first done, right? And what I'd like to see as a remake or reboot is it done properly with a new cast and a new script, new dialogue, that sort of thing, an updated version of it, kind of thing. British Empire with Chris Barry, no.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what they're talking about. That's what the BBC are talking about. It could be returning to BBC, a new series of the British Empire.
Now, depends on how they do this. If they do it like brand new cast, brand new script and everything, it could be decent.
No. It's with Chris Barry.
So it is with, right. So it's one of them things, it shouldn't be touched.
Yeah. Simply leave that. It.
Yeah.
See what I mean about the BBC wasting money on stuff that it doesn't need?
When they're bringing things back, sometimes the characters don't match what they were in the first place because they're getting older.
Yeah.
So it don't.
Well, you remember the Victoria Woods Wood sitcom, Dinner Ladies?
Yes.
See, I quite liked Dinner Ladies. I thought it was funny. And they did, you know, Victoria Wood managed to capture the essence of Dinner Ladies in a school. It worked to worked up to a point. But, you know, that's because she actually put in some of the research. Chris Barry, has he worked in a leisure centre? Did anybody who wrote any of this work in a leisure centre?
Yeah, very much doubt.
I don't think he'd been on a spaceship either.
Yeah, but a leisure centre is easier to find out information about.
Yeah.
I get what you mean, yeah.
You know. So, yes, there's all those.
Do you
want
to stick with BBC or would you like to move from BBC?
We should move from BBC. I think
we've got to move from BBC.
Are you wanting to mention the Danger Mouse story?
I was going to come back to that.
Come back to that one?
Yes, going to come back to that one.
So, keep peeled on that one.
Yeah, going to come back to that one. So, yes. Anyway, moving on to Simpsons.
Oh, Duff Beer.
Owen.
Yes, Duff Beer is now being a thing. It's now going to become a thing.
Why?
That is a very good question, and it's a very good answer.
I think the more appropriate question is, why now? The Simpsons isn't that popular now.
Well, I'd say it's a good question. It's a very good answer. Unfortunately, I haven't got one.
See, I think...
You're exactly right. Well, I'm sorry to interrupt, but just because it's not at the height of its popularity, and... I think the point you're going to make is that it can be seen as a way to kind of sort of revamp and sort of boost up to their viewership by selling alcohol that, yeah, it's just, I don't know. I still watch The Simpsons, but I'm at the point where I'll watch a new episode and I won't watch it again.
Yeah, but I mean...
I'm really, really, really bored.
Do you find the episodes interesting?
Not all the time, no.
The thing is, The Simpsons now is about to reach season 26.
It's way past its prime.
It's now touching series 26. Don't forget the beginning of, well, a couple of months back now, Harry, I can't remember his last name now. He was going to leave The Simpsons, right? It's now been revealed that he's coming back. Well, they also did announce that Homer and Marge were going to split up and everything like that.
The Simpsons right now is basically the couch gag followed by a mediocre bit of entertainment.
Yeah.
Right? And they seem to be putting more and more effort into the couch gag every single week.
Yeah.
Eventually, it's just going to be a 20-minute couch gag.
Yeah. You know?
And then followed by Homer going, "Dope!" And then that's it, end of episode. The Simpsons right now has gone way past its prime. It's so long in the tooth, it's actually scary. Yeah.
I thought they should have finished it with the movie.
Yeah. I agree.
Would you like to know where it's going to start being sold with the first... Where they're going to essentially launch this premier lager?
Please say Asda.
Well, that'd be something. But you want to know which country it's going to start off in?
It's going to have to be the States.
Iceland.
Chile.
What?
I am not joking.
Hang on. I'd like a chili Duff.
It works. Well, the Simpsons owner, 21st Century Fox, has announced they will soon begin selling the official Duff in Chile, with plans to bring the premium lager to Europe.
Now, this is the bit I don't get, because in Orlando, right, they do actually have like the Simpsons land, so why not sell it at Moore's Bar there?
That's my point. Yeah, that's
why not do something sensible?
Here's the thing. Selling at the theme park, it just kind of highlights that this is something... I mean, if they sold at the theme park, it'd be fine. If it tasted flat, then fine. Okay. That'd be something the theme park to pick up. This is obviously a publicity stunt.
Yeah.
Right. It's obviously an attempt to get more people interested in The Simpsons again.
Yeah, it's definitely kind of one of those things. You'll buy it. You'll keep a few. Then in 20 years,
I'd be worth an absolute fortune.
Well, mate, it will be if The Simpsons goes off air. In 20 years, I'm pretty certain it'll still be on the air. But
yes. Yeah, anyway,
I don't know, 'cause it depends.
So I've got to ask,
who's making this? Or is it like?
I don't know. Owen, any information on who's going to be making it?
I'll get back to you on that.
As long as it's not Carlsberg.
I've got to ask, right? So if it's called Duff in South America and North America, mm-hmm. and they're going to be selling it in Europe, is it going to be called Doof in Europe? Now, there's a Simpsons in-joke for you.
Yes. Oh, now, here we go. This might be some... British brewer Paul Farnsworth has described the recipe of the beer has the recipe of the beer, creating a premium lager with a caramel aromatic.
So basically, it's going to be a cross between something like Carling and Jack Daniels.
No. Needs more dog.
Yes.
More Simpsons beer jokes.
Yes.
Anyway, moving on. Lucy Lawless. This is some bits from SDCC,
yes.
San Diego Comic Con, for those of you who don't speak in code.
We should leave that for later, or you actually want to...
No, it wasn't part of the announcements. Okay. This is something that Lucy Lawless wants to happen.
Oh, right, of course.
Okay. Yeah. Lucy Lawless, who is in various shows and is going to be in Ash versus the Evil Dead, has stated... You know, she has spoken to the Nerdist and said, let's bloody do it. Look, you know what I have been pitching for this so hard this weekend. I'm like, come on, for God's sake, let's bloody do it. Do you know what she wants to do? Bring Xena back.
I've got mixed feelings about that. I enjoyed Xena, yeah. But...
Well, here's the thing. Xena was a spin-off of Hercules, The Legendary Journeys, the Kevin mm-hmm. Sorbo one. And they actually did some decent crossover episodes between Hercules and Xena. Lucy Lawless has gone on to star in various things. You know, she was number 3 in Battlestar Galactica. She was Lucretia in the Spartacus series. And she was she recently appeared as an ancient German in the second series or season of Salem. So she's done some interesting stuff. Mm. But I think it's because she played Xena for so long
that's the main character everyone knows her for.
Yeah.
More than anything else.
Well, that's the character that got parodied so much as well, especially mm-hmm. in The Simpsons.
Yes.
When she's like, Xena can't fly. I told you, I'm not Xena. I'm Lucy Lawless. I'm an actress. Yeah.
That was the one where the comic book guys.
The collectible. Yeah, the collector.
Like yeah.
Must adopt long green paws. Best death ever.
Yes, I remember that episode quite well. Especially the bit where they've got...
That was when The Simpsons was actually good.
He's got it on the tow truck like that, right? Connected to the magnet.
Yeah. So, yes, anyway. Lucy Lawless wants to bring Xena back. Owen, you're not up for this.
I enjoyed Xena at that time. It's like, that was also back when Hercules was on TV.
Yep.
It kind of depends on what Xena's role is now.
Yeah. I mean, Hercules featured the best acting in the world.
The best hair in the world.
No, the best acting, Kevin Sorbo. We need more emotion when you say the word disappointed. Disappointed!
Yes. But I really enjoyed him in Andromeda. I thought that was brilliant. That hair, though, you could just...
Yeah,
I recognised from the hair, not the face, he was in Hercules.
It was hilarious. He turned up at Comic-Con one time, and there was just this crowd of people walking behind him going, disappointed!
I'd love to do something like that.
I'll find that clip from Hercules. I'll play it for you guys later on because it's hilarious.
We will throw that on Twitter as well when we get the link.
Yeah. What do you guys think about Xena coming back?
I don't think it was... I mean, it was good for its time, I think.
Yeah.
But...
See, with...
Why?
With the graphics and digital effects that we can get now, like that, it should take what everyone loved to a whole new level.
Maybe a total reboot.
Yeah. It could be interesting.
In all fairness,
it's interesting you talk about the graphics and the digital effects, though, because there is another series coming out that's another remake in the works that I am really looking forward to, because the last time it was on TV was made between 1979 and 1982 when I was a kid, and it starred John Lumley and David McCallum. And those of you who don't know who David McCallum is, He played Ilya Kuryakin in the original Man from U.N.C.L.E. series, and he's also currently playing Ducky in NCIS.
One of the best characters.
Have you seen the episode when I think it's from the first series where Kate says, you know, what did Ducky look like when he was young? When he's younger, and Gibbs says to her, "Oh, he looked like Ilya Kuryakin."
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah,
it's a great line, just a throwaway line. I was like, oh, that's just brilliant. Yeah.
Need to have a certain knowledge to recognize what that line means.
You know, didn't expect that in there, but yeah.
It's just like, well, I salute you writers.
It's a science fiction horror series from 79 to 82 that was done by BBC when they were doing some interesting stuff called Sapphire and Steel, right? And it is, the emphasis is on science fiction horror, kind of what Doctor Who was doing, only a bit more kind of Outer Limits, a bit more Twilight Zone, a bit more X-Files kind of thing. Yeah. I'm interested in seeing how that's going to be done, especially with modern acting and modern digital effects and stuff like that, because I think it could really work now. I think imagine American Horror Story, but with more science fiction elements.
See, because American Horror Story is fantastic as it is.
Yeah, but imagine it was sci-fi horror. So you have things like alien creatures eating people and stuff like that. That it's an interesting one, isn't it?
Yeah,
because I don't think people really have I don't think British TV has explored sci-fi horror properly. So yes. Anyway, Sapphire and Steel remake is coming. We got just a couple of other bits before we go into what we've been watching. But we'll run through this quickly. There are two Tutankhamun shows coming up. One of them on ITV is going to be a fictionalized four-part drama about that's done by the Bletchley Circle writer Guy Burt, and it's going to tell the story of how Howard Carter came to discover the tomb of Tutankhamun.
I quite like that story. Yeah. It's one of my favorite stories in Egyptology.
Yeah. The other one is called Tut, and it's going to be on Channel 5 from Spike TV. They're bringing it up from Spike. And it's a six-hour miniseries that was shot on location in Morocco, and it's got Ben Kingsley playing the role of I, who is not a Yorkshireman. He is just called I. And this is kind of a historical fiction about the life of Tutankhamun. So, yeah.
See, now, if these work hand-in-hand... It should be absolutely fantastic.
Be interesting.
If they're going to be rivals, we know that. But yeah, finally, before we head into what have we been watching, we have Game of Thrones star Lena Headey and John Oliver. Lena Headey, for those of you who don't know, is Cersei Lannister.
Robbie, you were the only one who didn't know that. I'm sorry, but everyone else knows that.
No, I looked at it and I couldn't place the face.
Okay.
I was thinking, why do I know that face? Who does she look like? Because she's blonde in Game of Thrones. That's why I didn't recognize her.
You could also recognize her as the baddie in Dread.
Was she the baddie in Dread?
Well, the Carl Urban one.
Yes.
Oh, right. I don't recall that one.
All right.
Mainly because while I was watching it, I just kept thinking I'd rather be watching The Raid. Because Dread, The Raid, kind of the same. Lena Headey and John Oliver Lena Headey is going to be playing the role of... what role was it? Damn it. She's going to be playing the role of US secret agent Jeopardy Mouse in the remake, in the CBBC remake of Danger Mouse. That's quite a transition
from Game of Thrones.
That's quite a transition from Game of Thrones, and I'm hoping they don't include any elements from Game of Thrones, because the last thing we want is Penfold being likened to Tyrion Lannister.
No.
Penfold being Tyrion Lannister does not fly.
No.
Just that would take Danger Mouse to a whole new level.
Danger Mouse just went wrong.
On so many levels.
Yes.
It's not bad, right? It already got announced 2 weeks ago, and we've ruined it completely for everyone.
Yes. Right, okay.
You've even ruined the original.
Saying that, I don't think many people who will be watching Danger Mouse will be watching Game of Thrones anyway. So I think we should be okay.
More adults could be watching Danger Mouse now.
Why do I do this? Right. Okay. We're going to head into what have we been watching?
Yes.
So, guys, what have you been watching?
What I've been watching is the Scream TV series.
The Scream TV series,
yes,
based off of the film. Also, hi everyone.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Hello. Andrew, we welcome back.
Andrew has now joined us.
I haven't just learned to do his voice. I'm not that good. What I've been watching is the Scream TV series. It's done by MTV this time, which...
Hang on.
Music television.
Yeah, I'm a bit confused. Hello, Andrew, by the way.
Hello, everyone. I'm back.
Don't forget, MTV, though, right, at the moment, have been... The actual MTV channel have been losing music for ages. Most of it is now just reality TV shows.
Isn't most of it like, Pimp My Ride and Cribs and stuff like that?
There's stuff like Geordie Shaw's always on.
There is
everything
Catfish.
Like that.
Catfish.
Pimp My Ride isn't even on it anymore, isn't it? That's old MTV.
Pimp My Ride is actually still on MTV.
Pimp My Skateboard.
But really? Like 11 o'clock at night.
No, the teenage version. Pimp My Skateboard.
Pimp My Skateboard.
It's kind of more things like Geordie Shaw and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Geordie Shaw?
Yes,
it was on MTV. Why?
You've never seen Geordie Shaw before, Rob.
No, it's clearly he knows issues. You could ask the why till you're blue in the face.
MTV don't even know why the hell they've got it on.
I don't think MTV...
The thing is, I could understand if it was Jersey Shaw, which is what the original TV series was.
That's always on MTV as well. They have loads of them.
Geordie Shaw just... doesn't quite have the same, and this is not to denigrate Newcastle in any way because it's a great city. But
they already did.
Geordie Shaw does not have the same level of class as Jersey Shaw.
Oh, that is true enough.
And this is Jersey Shaw we're talking about.
That is
even people from Jersey do not admit that they're from Jersey. I mean, who? I think they said it. Leonard said it best on the Big Bang Theory. Who would ever try and fake that they were from Jersey?
Yes,
that is true. Yeah,
and I don't mean the lovely little island off the south coast of England.
I swear, though, this one will mind boggle you, Rob. Right? I swear. Well, when I've been flicking,
it'll
through
take
the guide,
my brain and shake
box.
It up.
No,
when I've been flicking through the guide, right?
You've been flicking through the guide,
TV guide.
Okay.
Right? I swear, I have saw Judge Geordie as well.
That is an actual show.
That's a thing.
Yes. That is a woman. A lass from Geordie Shaw left and been given her own TV show. It's an actual thing.
Yeah. See, really? We were talking about this before.
Yes.
Owen and I, and I think you were on that show as well, Andy. We were talking about Judge Geordie. And first question I asked is, does she get a wig? Is she going to be wearing a judge's wig? Because if she isn't, then she's not a real judge. I'm out.
Fair enough.
The word Dragon's Den.
Exactly.
But he's saying, I don't think even MTV knows what MTV is anymore.
Well, the thing is, MTV.
Should they change the meaning of the M now? So, you know, maybe TV.
No, still have an emphasis on music, though. But
I would say, don't forget, MTV have MTV Rock, MTV Bass, Dance, all the stuff like that.
MTV
Bass.
Like,
they don't need separate MTV channels for music.
They have
different
channels.
Music
for every,
on the music channel.
They have different music channels, right, for each music genre.
Why?
Yeah,
why is there no MTV Classical?
I don't know.
Well, tell me, why is there an MTV, like a classic music show on MTV?
Can I ask a question? Right, okay, MTV Rock, okay, fine. MTV Pop, okay, fine. But what the hell is MTV Bass
I'm sorry,
all about?
Like heavy
it's
rock and
R&B stuff like that.
Then why not call it MTV R&B?
Can I just
because it's all about that bass.
I'm sorry. MTV needs to get rid of the channel. MTV dropped the bass.
No. But the thing is, you're saying it's all about the bass, but when you talk about the bass, I'm not thinking R&B or any of that other nonsense. I'm thinking either jazz or classical music.
That bass.
The double bass.
Is on it.
Double bass is in jazz, you know?
Yep.
For that matter, where the hell is the MTV Jazz? That works.
It does.
They are keeping music relatively through the shows in MTV.
No. MTV are responsible for keeping music lowbrow. MTV music, MTV as a channel is for the
reality lovers.
No, the people with huge foreheads.
Yeah, David Cameron.
The people whose knuckle.
God, David Cameron on MTV.
Yes.
I'm sorry, that just.
That'll be sure.
It kind of works and it doesn't.
The people who we refer to as knuckle draggers.
Yeah.
Yes. MTV is for them.
I can see that going on in Andrew's head now thinking, a knuckle dragger.
I'm aware of what a knuckle dragger. Can't say it, but I know what it is.
Yeah. I mean, definitely the MTV generation has ended.
The MTV generation ended after about 10 years, and that was, and the MTV generation was, what, early 80s to early 90s. That was the MTV generation.
Like when you watch it.
The irony is, I am actually part of the MTV generation.
When I'm watching Scream, though, right, on MTV.
Yeah, we're getting slightly distracted by MTV.
When a song's playing in the background, it annoys me. Actually tells you what the song is on the bottom, pops up in the... And I think, I don't want to know.
That's just weird. But yeah, that's MTV.
It's like, it's got like inbuilt Shazam.
Somebody's getting married on screen and then all of a sudden you have a new catfish starting at 9 p.m.
See, that would be hilarious if you just had some guy in a spangly uniform walking on and going, Shazam, and then telling you what this song is.
Someone getting stabbed like that, right, and it pops up like that. Do you like this song? It's Madonna.
Anyway.
No, he's got to go, Shazam.
Anyway, back to Scream. It's based around what the first film was. Human, high school-based type of thing. And it's basically somebody gets killed off at the end, during each episode. And by the 10th episode, you'll find out who it is and they'll finish it off. But what they've done, which I found, which was unique, they've changed the mask.
Ooh.
They've changed it to a more darker mask that actually looks intimidating.
Well, that's just because...
Yeah, but that's not Scream then, is it?
No,
yeah.
It is.
It's kind of separating it from the movies because the... Yeah. The mask was so iconic.
Because they were going to make another two movies, and then after Scream 4, they decided we'll make a TV series.
Do you think they've done that so
Wes
Craven, you do know it's a separate entity?
Wes Craven's involved, though. So it is actually something he had a say in.
Yeah, so he was actually, yeah.
Wasn't the reason it was called Scream in the first place? It was because the mask was sort of...
Screaming.
Yeah, well, it was based on the painting, the Scream.
Yeah.
But this one's like a melted... weird version. It'll be on.
Yeah, okay. I can't see it now.
The original
but
one.
Basically, what the story is: there's a video that's on it's like a bullying YouTube video, and it stems all around a murder that happened 20 years ago, and he might be coming back. So it's got its own storyline and things, but it's not the best. But it's a good thing that they've added that something to watch, and it was good to see. I think.
Okay.
I think the fact that they've done the TV series based off the film, that has, it's not like connected to it. It's
no, the only thing
separate.
It has going is obviously just same like the deaths and things are relatively.
But it's one of them things.
The deaths just got that.
But it's one of them things, though, right? They haven't actually took elements from the film to actually do it. So
there's ideas there.
Oh yeah, there's the ideas, but they haven't just dragged. Like Tenno said, we like that death, so I'm going to drag that in. So,
okay. All right, okay. So Scream is what you've been watching, and you're enjoying it then?
Yeah, two episodes in.
Okay, who's next then?
I have been, it's me. So I've been watching The Walking Dead. I've been re-watching Series 4 and Series 5, which I can't actually ruin because Andy still hasn't finished watching Series 5. So that's quite disappointing.
I'm 4 episodes in. I'm nearly there.
Four episodes.
If we spoil it for him now, then he's got more time to watch Scream.
That is true, so we could spoil it for him.
But Scream's only on every Tuesday.
Everybody's dead, Dave. Dave, everybody's dead. Everybody, Dave, dead. Everybody.
So I am just rewatching Series 5, waiting for Series 6 to come out, which I'm looking forward to. But I can't ruin it because he's only that far into Series 5, so I can't really ruin the rest of it for him.
Well, that made that very interesting.
It's a great little topic.
Yeah, you can't even spoil the bit about how Rick gets on a rocket ship and goes to Mars and has to fight off the Martians.
It's so unfair, isn't it?
People said that was a bit of a left turn, but I really enjoyed that.
No.
I wasn't expecting that bit, though.
The left turn happened when all of a sudden, it turned out, the hill that they were camping on turned out to be this giant. And he gave them the keys to the inner world where they found the rocket ship.
Oh, that's right. But then it turned out the giant was evil, so they had to fight him in the mecha rocket ship.
Yes.
That was a good finale.
Yep, it was.
Such an awesome premise for Series 6 now, though, isn't it? To be brutally honest.
It's sad now, because now I really want to watch that version of The Walking Dead.
It'll be the moon Walking Dead.
I know, it'd be hilarious if Andy actually, if there was any possibility of Andy believing what we just said. So he's sitting there watching it, he's like, so where's the giant then? When does that happen? Okay, right. Mine's fairly mundane because I think Owen wants to go last today.
I'm happy with that.
I think before we get to mine, I think we should have a word from our Andrew,
sponsor.
From our Andrew, who's been on holiday and has borne witness to
I've been in Spain, so I've seen some very strange TV shows, chief among which the German version of Judge Judy.
Something doesn't ring true here. You've been to Spain.
Yeah, but they get a lot of German television. Yeah.
Did you not know Germany currently owns Spain and Greece and Italy?
Yeah, but they are trying to get rid of Greece, right, for a discount price.
Have you not noticed? It's basically World War III going on but financially, because Germany is slowly taking over countries by absorbing their debt.
Well, the thing is, we all know Germany is trying to get rid of Greece for a discount price, so they're just trying to
Yeah, but do you know what I found hilarious about that whole German thing? We'll come back to the German Judge Judy in a second. What I found hilarious is that Germany is basically...
Are we jumping into politics here?
No, just hear this out. This is cracking. Germany are basically pushing for the Greek debt, everything like that. But Germany, as a country, still owes Greece £279 billion pounds from World War II.
That is true. That is true.
Is that inflated or
it actually has to pay them £279 billion pounds. So if Germany paid their debt to Greece back, Greece wouldn't actually be in financial debt and require a bailout.
That is true.
That's kind of amazing.
Didn't the Germans essentially say ain't gonna happen?
Yes.
I mean, it's like,
you know what? That to me just kind of smacks, just highlights how the EU is working at the moment.
Yeah, yes.
You know, because the Germans are allowed to say, we're not giving you the money we owe you, but you have to give us the money you owe us.
Well, that's because the Greeks were very sort of generous, saying, well, you don't have to pay it back. We'll kind of give you relief.
Well, no, they didn't give it to them. They basically said, you don't have to pay it back now.
That's right. Yeah, they did. Yeah.
You know.
And the Greeks just asking for the same courtesy, and
this is Germany, don't forget.
Yeah, but this is the thing, you know, it's Germany, and we're going to find out more by listening to how they approach Judge Judy.
Yes, it's kind of like, I feel like they've kind of fundamentally misunderstood what Judge Judy is. It's like, it starts off, it looks exactly the same as Judge Judy, with like the trashy, like orange haired, obvious, like, fake celebrity judge woman.
Mm-hmm.
But then suddenly it gets, like, really serious. And, like, they're in, like, an actual court. And, like, you've got, like, the prosecution and the defence.
They do that in Judge Judy anywhere.
No, but I mean, like, actual prosecution and defence.
What is this? The actual...
I mean, are we talking, like, proper jury type thing? And
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Whoa. Because Judge Judy seems more like a magistrate.
No,
magistrate
it is.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
I'm not entirely... I think it might have actually just been footage from McCloskey. Like, the audience... You know how in Judge Judy all the audience is like, oh, ooh.
Yeah.
That is just like a room full of stony-faced German people just frowning throughout the entire thing.
And nobody frowns like a German person.
That is true.
It was kind of amazing.
So what is the name of the show? Is it called, by any chance, called The Nuremberg Trials?
No, it's Judge Wilhelm.
You mean Wilhelm?
No, Wilhelm, yeah, you will scream.
yes.
Andy got that one. Wilhelm Scream, have you not heard of it?
Probably heard it.
Yes.
Heard of it.
Mm.
So, yeah, okay. So Judge Judy is quite a scary thing in Germany.
We thought she was already scary. When you compare
it's one of them things you have to think of it, though, right? If they've done German Judge Judy.
Can you imagine if they did a TV, if they did a TV-based fighting game and you had Judge Judy versus Anne Robinson?
Oh, God.
That'd make awesome people. That'd make awesome people.
Yeah. I don't know. Somebody would probably eat the other one's head.
I feel like Judge Judy would win because, like, she has the little hammer.
Yeah, but, you know.
Yeah, but that's true. Anne Robinson has that stare that'll turn you to stone.
Yeah.
Plus, I guess her face is so plastic now, the hammer would just, like, sink in doing it.
No. Anne Robinson has that scary one-sided smirk. You know, that little one-sided smile where it was just like the left side of our mouth just went up and you went, that's actually quite terrifying.
Yeah.
If I met you in real life and you did that to me, I would run that way. I don't care how many walls are in my way.
You'd run even further once she winked at you as well.
No, there'd just be like, a rub-shaped hole in like several walls as I ran. You know, just...
But it opens up for you when you think of it. So we've got a German Judy. Can you imagine what it'd be like if it was other one? Like
no,
other
if you had like other TV celebrities in a fighting game, so you had like Ainsley Harriet versus...
Greg from MasterChef.
Yeah, versus Greg Wallace from MasterChef.
No, versus Anthony Worrell Thompson.
Yeah, versus Anthony Worrell Thompson, you just have this tiny little red troll. Anthony. Ainsley has a weapon. It's called Percy Pepper.
Well, what about George Foreman, though? He comes in with a grill.
No. George Foreman's a fighter anyway. We don't want actual fighters.
Yeah. He's already got...
We don't want people who are actually fighters. We want people who are so far removed from the whole idea of fighting that it makes it funny. So, yes, anyway, talking about chefs, I have been watching Celebrity MasterChef.
I've been watching that.
Yeah, I've been keeping up to date with it. I think that I'm not really the... Out of all the MasterChef series they do, I think Celebrity MasterChef is consistently the weakest of the three. And this year is no real difference. It is weak again. But then again, you're talking about celebrities, and then it's difficult for the presenters and difficult for the BBC to justify, you know, ripping it out of so-called celebrities.
To kind of massage their ego a bit.
Yeah, in order to get them on. But what I like about Celebrity MasterChef is that, unlike other reality TV shows, I think it's the main thing I like about MasterChef in general, unlike other reality TV shows, you actually have to work your ass off to win. You actually have to show that you have talent, that you actually can work hard, that you can... produce really high quality stuff. It basically requires you to have skill, and talent and judgment and to put in the effort. It's not something where you can win just by putting your head in a box full of snakes, or you just sit in a house and try and make friends with people for the next 50 weeks or something like that. So it actually, or you just happen to be good at singing. It's not that kind of thing. You actually need to work for it. I mean, it's one of the reasons I think that Strictly is also such a big thing, because most of these celebrities can't dance to start off.
So it shows the training.
Some of them
have to go.
They actually have to put in the effort. It's the same with MasterChef. In MasterChef, the celebrities, most of them, once they've got bitten by that bug, they will go home and they will practice and they will keep churning out dishes and just to practice specific skills that they feel they are going to need. The ones who really push themselves, I mean, I forgot his name, the rugby player who won a couple of years ago.
Oh, I know the one you mean, yeah.
I've forgotten his name, damn it, and I should know his name. But he showed a really delicate touch with his food, which you wouldn't expect from a guy who's built like him and has huge hands like his.
Yeah, plus whose profession involves hitting things very hard.
running this up, people.
But the thing is, he won because he practiced and he put in the effort. You know, and that's one of the biggest differences. It's one of the reasons why I can happily sit through Celebrity MasterChef, whereas I wouldn't be able to sit through something like I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, without wanting to punch someone.
Yeah, and just for
mainly Ant and Dec.
And just for clarification, that was Phil Vickery.
Phil Vickery.
That's him.
I saw him testing out. I think the last time I watched, might have been this one. He was testing out the celebrities' dishes, and he was kind of very like a connoisseur. Like, he was actually someone who'd go and review restaurants. The way he talked about it,
the thing is, he's learned over time, And this is the thing with the celebrities who have won Celebrity MasterChef. Mm. They don't just stop there. I mean, if I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here actually taught them survival skills. Mm. If it was like, you know, the island where Bear Grylls, you know, where Bear Grylls, you know, just kind of is Bear Grylls and everyone else is going, I don't want to die.
He just sat on another island.
Bear Grylls has just sat on another island going, I'm over here. You're going to have to make it over to me. So you're going to have to survive for the next 15 days and make a boat.
And he's just there for a massive barbecue.
Yeah.
He wants some.
With like delicious python and camel pee.
Yeah. And he's winding him up. He's got like a really long stick which can reach almost to the other island. You can have some if you want.
If you can get it, you can have it.
Yeah. So, yeah. See, I'm a Celebrity would be so much more entertaining if the celebrities actually had to work for it.
Be so much
so if they had to do things like like make their own tents, start their own fires, you know, various things like that, instead of having things done for them, actually make them work for it. You know, if you're going to do wilderness survival, do it properly. Make them eat witchetty grubs and stuff like that.
Oh, no. Like, the way you fix it is just, you say, tonight's meal is half a rat. And that's all you're getting. Now, here's a broken pool cue.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Don't forget, though, this is ITV, right? And ITV are very health and safety conscious.
Yes, we know.
Well, yeah. But that's a good thing, in a way.
But the thing
it ruins the effect.
Hang on. The BBC are just as health and safety conscious, and yet they let their celebrities near knives and fire.
That is true.
Yeah, but look at the Australian. I'm a celebrity. That's not even in Australia.
Do you know why it's not in Australia? Because they would die if it was in Australia.
That's literally everything kills you in Australia.
They have a snake there called the two-step. Do you know why it's called the two-step?
It kills you in two steps.
Do you know what the normal name for that snake is?
Death.
No, the brown snake. Do you know why it's called the brown snake? Because it looks like the ground, which is brown, and you don't see it until you stepped on it and it's bitten you.
Mm-hmm. The only in which case, that UK is also what colour your trousers turn.
Yes.
The UK one's in Australia, but it's not really a jungle, is it?
I'm sorry, but any country where you have to lift the toilet seat up just to make sure you're not going to die before you use it should not be having a TV show like I'm a Celebrity.
The most upsetting thing about all this, right, is everything that I've learned about snakes and shit like that is off Steve Irwin. Steve Irwin taught me everything I need to know for stuff like that.
Yes. Anyway, right, okay.
Can say, though, a good show which I'd like to see is where they dump them in the jungle and it'd have a MasterChef element to it, and you have to find your own ingredients.
They've got that one on, I think it's the Travel Channel. It's called like Brymaster or something like that, and they go around South Africa with this big barbecue type thing. Anyway, right, Owen, what you been watching?
Yes, I've been watching a show I've been kind of quite interested in looking at. Never quite got around to it. It's sci-fi. Well, it's not so much sci-fi as it's Canada's space channel Dark Matter.
Dark Matter.
Dark Matter. Yes.
Did you say Canada's space channel?
Yes, Canada Space Channel. Canada has a channel called Space, and they are the ones that, ordered it in the first place, and it's also on now a sci-fi channel.
Okay. And what's Dark Matter about, then?
Well, Dark Matter is actually based on a comic series of the same name. And it sort of starts off a ship adrift in space with six people. They kind of start off in cryostasis. Then one by one, they wake up in the space of a couple hours with no memory of who they are. You know, a lot of basic stuff, like they know what things are, they're aware on a ship, and some even know how to like work the ship, but they don't know who they are. They don't know their own identities. They have no memories of who they are. So the first episode is kind of based around, first off, kind of trying to figure out who they are and maybe kind of figure out what the mission is. And the first way them kind of figuring this out is by going to the ship's original destination, which they get after they find an android. They kind of hope has answers for them, but during reboot, unfortunately, her memory's wiped as well. So it kind of loses everything.
So it's not a paranoid android named Marvin?
No. Although, once she was woken up, she did kind of attack the crew. So
it's more like What's-His-Face from Alien.
Every robot from the Alien franchise?
Well, I've just been looking at the premise for this, and the reason why I mentioned the Alien thing, I've got to say, aside from the fact that they're supposed to be amnesiacs, their memories have been wiped or something?
I haven't quite got that far. I don't think it's quite been explained what's happened, but essentially, the memories have been wiped through some way or another.
Yeah, because they don't know what they're doing, but there's... I'm just looking at this here. Their cargo bay is full of weaponry?
Yes. Yes, that's the first thing they find. The cargo bay is full of weapons, and it does actually present two possible explanations about where the mission wants to get to the final... to their destination.
Which is apparently a mining colony.
Yes. At first, they're given two possibilities. The hope that they kind of go for the first bit is that they're there to help, because this mining colony was never really kind of interest to any company. But once what they were mining was found in huge quantities, a particular mining company wanted control, and so we're kind of sending something called the Razor to sort of.
And the Razor.
I think it's the Razor. The Razor. Hold on, I'll just.
The Razor.
That's what.
Isn't somebody who just runs up to them and goes?
No, that they are the sworn enemies of the Mataz.
But yeah, it is called the Razor. We actually find out what the Razor is later in the episode, the first episode. And so the crew of this ship decide, right, with the weapons, they will give half to the colony, because they believe that they paid for the weapons, but keep half. So they can kind of keep, the colony can keep, defend themselves from these Razza, which are kind of perpetuated as half human, half reptile that stand like 7 feet tall.
Okay.
But they keep some weapons for themselves to kind of sell on or defend themselves. And at the end of the episode, they kind of find out after data cache is recovered by the android, the truth. And the truth I sort of was expecting. I wasn't all that surprised, but at the same time, it was actually quite... I was both surprised and not surprised.
Are they the Razza?
They are the Razza. The ship is called the Razza. And they are, and five of the six are all wanted fugitives, so things like murder, piracy, theft and all sorts.
Okay.
There's one we don't quite know about, and it's a young woman played by an actress in her 20s, if I can...
She is a mystery.
Yes. A lot of her is a mystery when...
Her surname's not Ripley, is it?
No. She kind of reminds.
I like that idea.
She kind of reminds me of a bit about a character from Andromeda. What was her name? The purple one.
The purple one.
The purple character. The purple.
Oh, Trans Gemini.
That's it. She kind of reminds me of that kind of weird one.
I like Trans.
So did I. She's weird, but you kind of get the feeling she's more than you expect her to be. That's kind of what she reminds me of. And they kind of given this situation where. They're confronted that they're actually these bad people, but at the same time, because they don't remember who they are, they don't have the wrong memories on kind of what made them that, what the paper they were.
Okay, so the question I have then is, why were their memories wiped?
That's a good question, and like I said, I haven't quite got that far. I don't know why their memories were wiped.
Okay, well, we'll be coming back to dark matter at some point.
That had just be the amnesia wearing off.
Okay. It could be, but it's actually got a couple of quite interesting actors in it as well. David Hewlett plays a recurring character. You might recognize him from Stargate. He played Rodney from Atlantis.
Oh, right. Is it Rodney?
Yeah.
Ah.
He's in it as well.
And Invulnerable.
He plays a recurring character. Roger Cross is in it as well. People might know him as the main actor from Continuum.
You have been watching The Simpsons a lot lately, haven't you?
What?
You have been. I'm pretty sure of it. The way you're introducing them, it sounds a lot like, "Hi, I'm Troy McClure. You might recognize me from..."
You might remember from such films as...
Exactly. That's the way you're introducing them.
That's true.
For the next one, you have to do it like that.
Yeah, you have to do it like that now.
Okay, I've got a bit of a doozy.
later on. But Roger Cross, he's actually got a fair pedigree to him because he's had guest roles in Stargate SG-1, Highlander, the series, Relic Hunter, 4400, Higher Ground, Star Trek Enterprise, and...
You find
was
that
he the
with
voice
these...
of Ezio in Assassin's Creed as well?
I don't think that was him.
What you find, though, with these, a lot of these sci-fi shows, you find that you do get a lot of crossover with them.
That's very true, yeah.
The problem that they have is they've got a very limited pool of actors who are comfortable with doing sci-fi. It's one of the reasons why you had like Ben Browder and Claudia Black going from Farscape to Stargate. And you had what's his face who plays Daniel Jackson?
Michael Shanks. He went to Andromeda. And Lexa.
Lexa Doig went to Stargate.
Yeah.
From Andromeda, and what's his name? Tilk went from
Judge Christopher Judge
went from SG-1 to Andromeda.
Yeah, I quite liked his characters. He had kind of two different ones, but
these are very, very different shows. And Amanda Tapping going and doing Sanctuary.
Yeah, that's right. She also directs a few episodes of this as well.
Yeah, so you have this a huge amount of crossover with these sci-fi shows because, as I said, only a limited number of actors, TV actors, are comfortable doing sci-fi. And they actually enjoy the lifestyle of it.
Especially this kind of not massive budget sci-fi.
Yeah, exactly. You find that characters who've been in some of the Star Trek TV shows, except for Enterprise, if they've been in Deep Space Nine or Voyager or The Next Generation or even the original series, they have difficulty making the transition to other sci-fi shows.
What?
Enterprise is the unusual one because Enterprise is not considered by a lot of Star Trek fans to be a proper Star Trek series.
Well, that's true. A lot of people do
but
that.
That's also one of the reasons why. But the thing is, Scott Bakula, who played Jonathan Archer, he's got a good pedigree with sci-fi because he came from Quantum Leap.
Yeah. And the guy that...
Which is why he could go from Quantum Leap to Enterprise, by way of whatever else, and then from there go to NCIS New Orleans.
No, that's very true. Mm. And the guy that played Tucker, he was also played a rather pivotal baddie in Stargate Atlantis.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, before we move on, I know you want to move on, but... Right, a couple more.
Make it one more. One more. You have one more.
Oh, right. Well, I'll just go executive producer. Joseph Malozzi and Paul Malua, who were known for Stargate Atlantis.
Okay. I wasn't as big a fan of Stargate Atlantis. And well, I didn't like Stargate Universe.
Many believe Stargate Atlantis to be the best Stargate series, and many believe Universe to have just been terrible.
No, Universe was terrible. Atlantis was decent, but SG-1 was still the best one. We are going to be talking very, very quickly because we don't have much time left, which is one of the reasons I was hurrying you on a little bit.
Yes, I do apologize for that.
Right. Well, a slightly extended episode today. We're going to be talking very, very quickly about some of the TV shows that were announced at SDCC. San Diego Comic-Con. Who wants to start us off with what they are looking forward to that was announced at SCCC? Ash versus the Evil Dead for me.
Yes. Is there a trailer for that now?
I don't think so. There's no trailer for that. Yes, there is. Is there? Oh, yes.
Oh, well, I need to watch that then.
After the show. Yes. Well, yeah, Ash versus the Evil Dead is at the top of the list for me.
I'm torn between two.
Really?
Is it Fear the Walking Dead, one of them?
Fear the Walking... Well, no.
Because
the Walking Dead Series 6 trailer got released.
Oh, okay.
Which has made Fear the Walking Dead slightly less. But I am looking forward to American Horror Story as well.
Ooh, yeah.
Because the hotel looks fantastic at the moment. So.
Yeah, I mean, they did a teaser for that where it was Lady Gaga and her silver and red metal fingernails, tapping the bell and then tapping the desk.
There is an official trailer on YouTube at the moment, and I will find it and I'll post it.
Thing is, the Lady Gaga one with just the hand, apparently that's supposed to be creepy. I'm like, well, I've seen scarier things than that just by waking up and looking in the mirror. So what else is people looking forward to? Anyone looking forward to Supergirl?
Yes, I am.
What, really?
Yeah, I'm...
I like the fact you were starting off really sarcastic and then you froze and went, what, really?
No, I actually am. When I watched the kind of trailers for it, it kind of seemed interesting for me. And I think Supergirl, it was...
Super cheesy to me.
Yeah, it does.
Was that
a purposeful joke? It looks super cheesy.
Yeah, on the cheesiness scale, it is Wensleydale.
That was awful. That was awful. I have to ask, have you seen the original Supergirl movie?
Yes.
That level?
It kind of is on that level.
I did say that was my main concern. I made this clear when they first announced it. This is my main concern. They're going to do the Supergirl TV movie. They're going to make the TV series, so it's going to be like the Supergirl movie, and it's going to be awful. So, yes. Okay, what about Sherlock, the 1890s thing? Was a bit of an unusual one.
The thing is, I'm not really keen on Sherlock anywhere.
What?
Right? I'm not keen on Sherlock. It's one of the things.
Do you know one of the other ones that I'm actually looking forward to? Just going through this list, 12 Monkeys.
Yes. I'm looking forward to that more than I am Supergirl.
12 Monkeys, I think.
I'm certainly intrigued by 12 Monkeys.
I think everyone's... everyone was intrigued by the movie and figuring out what the hell's going on. we kind of get it, but we're not sure.
Yeah, just,
Bruce Willis has a tash.
Curious really? To see if they can match that in a TV series.
Bruce Willis having a mustache was kind of on the equivalent, level of, you know, Vegeta having a mustache in Dragon Ball. It's just kind of, it don't quite work.
Because I get confused, like, any time I watch an old film and Bruce Willis actually has hair.
Yes. It shouldn't happen. It's not a thing. Willis does not have hair.
He's never had hair. He was bald through childhood.
So, yeah.
Actually, one more thing I'm looking forward to from it was Doctor Who. I do have to mention Doctor Who.
I've fallen out with Doctor Who.
I've never liked
it.
I've fallen out with Doctor Who ever since Amy. They could have saved Amy.
I'm quite a bit far behind, so...
No.
You could have got back for Amy.
I noticed the minority part on that list.
Yeah.
Oh, is that still happening?
Yeah, that's still happening. Tom Cruise's Scientology Fest. No.
I saw that headline and I just put my phone away and said, no.
What about Agent Carter? Is anyone excited about Agent Carter?
I am. It's kind of nice to see the Marvel Universe, like, how they're going on not long after Captain America is gone, but way before kind of the Avengers are a thing. And there's a lot about it that I'm quite interested about seeing how they cope.
Captain America throws his mighty shield.
No, we will not yield to the shield,
Rob. And I'm quite happy that...
They need to have that in Agent Carter somewhere.
Just
as a bit of a meta reference, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I am glad that it is Hayley Atwell's character, Captain America's love interest. That is a big thing for me. I'm glad that it's her.
Yes. What about other shows? Who else is looking forward to something else?
The Last Ship. I like The Last Ship. It's a very good idea that ships at sea, if an outbreak occurs on dry land.
With a P.
What?
It's just, you know,
yes, ship with a P. Yeah, yes, yeah. It's a P. There's not SHIP, not...
That's a very different ship.
P for pizza.
Ship as in very large board.
Yes. Yes.
With a crew.
Yes.
MTV Scream is on there as well.
Don't start.
Just no. let me just do this about The Last Ship. It's a very good show, although it does have Adam Baldwin, so... He's a Baldwin, so it kind of gets...
Yeah, but
he's a Baldwin, but he's not a Baldwin, is he?
The Baldwins could work. Stephen Baldwin worked in 30 Rock.
Mm-hmm.
It was Alec Baldwin.
Yeah, it was Alec Baldwin. Stephen Baldwin's...
Stephen
Baldwin was on Big Brother.
Yeah, Alec Baldwin worked in 30 Rock.
Yes.
I knew it was one of the Baldwin brothers who worked in 30 Rock.
Yeah. He just went for the wrong Baldwin.
Completely the same.
Yeah, but the thing is, he actually worked in 30 Rock as a send-up of himself. And, you know, it worked.
It did, yeah.
I found it funny.
I mean, I think, well, that was.
But then again, it was Tina Fey, and she's brilliant.
She is.
That is very true. Good. But I was saying, The Last Ship is a very good. Like any ship, it's at sea, and there's an outbreak on land. No, the ships can't go back to land with them risk of getting the virus, because then it could be spread. Or
more zombies.
Yes.
More zombies.
The people on those ships could be the last hope of humanity.
So basically, this could be The Walking Dead based on a boat.
Well, no, because, well, they can't go on land, so they don't actually know what's happening on land other than what reports they get. But
what about this? Just very quickly, just jumping in very quickly. What about this TV show called Dominion? The one about angels versus demons.
I have watched it.
Is it any good?
It's not bad. It's not bad at all. It's. I don't know what's the best way to explain it.
Well, it's about angels versus demons. I know that much.
Yeah, it's along them same storyline. Yeah, but it's much quicker from the. Like, where the film takes a while to get into it.
Film?
Sorry, yeah.
The TV series. First series, yeah.
Yeah. While it takes a while to get into it, from now on, in Dominion, it is quick.
So it's basically
It's straight the action, straight the point, everything.
All right, okay. Because that one might be interesting to have a look at. I do like a bit of kind of religious warfare.
Sci-fi had it on.
I'm not going down that route. No. I'm not saying a word more about that. That sounded worse than it actually is. I meant in the entertainment sense. No, that's still me digging a hole. Mythological religious thing. You have this spade, Andrew. Take it away from me.
I want to. I'm going to diverge from someone because just a quick point I have to make from mine. Adam Baldwin is of no relation to the Baldwin brothers. I'm just gonna,
which then makes him cool.
Yeah, but we don't care.
I'm just making that clear for everyone else out there.
He, by having the surname Baldwin,
no, that's true.
He is unofficially a member of the Baldwin brothers.
No, that's true.
You know, we don't care what his birth certificate says.
So do you think just like Alex, Stephen, and the other one just like stand outside his house at night? One of us.
Yes.
I really don't like Stephen Baldwin. I just don't like Stephen Baldwin. When he was
they just sidle up to him in bars and places like that. You know, when he's out for a night on the town, they'll just sit down next to him. So when are you going to join us?
Yeah. I'm sorry, but Stephen Baldwin,
like some kind of mafioso.
He does have a Baldwin bit of a mafioso family. Look to him.
The Baldwin family.
That famous mafia.
Yeah.
Now that is a movie that needs to be made.
Okay, right. Another one that I am looking forward to. From and this is from before SDCC is Lucifer.
Yes, I think we talked about that on 4Panel.
Yes, we've talked about that on 4Panel. Lucifer is one that I am definitely looking forward to. And you know, the 1 million mums, that's just funny because, you know, 1 million mums are campaigning against this TV series being made because it glorifies Satan and sends the wrong message to children. Well, number one, it's based on a fictionalized version of Satan where he has basically quit being the devil and gone to run a bar in California, in LA, I think it was, and he makes a living as kind of a lounge singer. And number two, we did mention this is a fictionalized version, so it is completely made up. Mm-hmm. And number three, your children won't be having posters of Satan on their wall. They'll be having posters of the actor who is playing a fictionalized version of Lucifer.
Yep.
Without the horns and the tail and the pitchfork.
I'm sorry, but the mothers who have an issue with this are the mothers that don't control what their children watch.
In the words of the Deadpool trailer, they are the less angry Rosie O'Donnells of the world.
Very good. Very, very good.
Deadpool trailer.
Have you not seen the Deadpool trailer?
I have missed so much.
Oh, God. After the show, we will show you. Right, okay, right. Anyone else got anything they're looking forward to? Because we are, unfortunately, at the end of the show.
Last series of Fallen Skies. That's what I'm looking forward to. I can't wait. I've got some catching up to do, but I'm happy to see it come to an end rather than have it go for on to a point where...
Rather than have it end up like Alpha's, where it ended on a cliffhanger and you're like,
what's happening now, right? And it's still not finished.
Yes.
Yeah. Although, something I'm not happy about is the Teen Titans Go.
Don't talk to me about Teen Titans Go.
Thank you for stopping me.
The Teen Titans Teen Titans TV series, the you know the one that had the movie Titans in Tokyo, that one was cute and it was charming and it was quirky and it was fun. And then they thought, oh, we will redo this, but with more wackiness, and we'll call it Teen Titans Go, and people will swallow it because they like the Teen Titans.
I'm sorry, Rob. I think you're trying to say something, but all I can hear is just white noise.
Yes. Yes, because that is all Teen Titans Go is. It's white noise. It's basically some person's attempt at regurgitating humor after they've surgically removed all the charm and the eccentricity and all the humor of the original. So basically, it's like the cartoon version of 2 pints of lager and a packet of crisps.
wow!
And on that note,
yes, on that.
Right? We have reached the end of the show. This has been a slightly extended on the box, so we could incorporate the stuff from SDCC. Thanks to everyone for joining us today. I have been Rob.
I've been Owen.
I've been Jordan.
I've been Andy.
And I've been Andrew.
We'll see you all next week. Take care, have fun, and keep watching those interesting things and avoid reality TV.
Please.
It rots your brain.
And everyone, see Gem and Judy.
No, I think, you know they want to put those warnings on sugary foods now to prevent, kids getting rotten teeth. They should put that on reality TV show, but with
rots
rotten
your brain.
Brains. Yeah. The following program may cause brain rot.
I think we need that as a T-shirt.
Yes.
Yes.
Right, okay. We shall see you all next week.
Bye.